Here it is. Here we go. Tuesday, June 15th. It's the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. All the best stuff you might want to hear again or for the first time if you like to sleep in. Today, we heard about COVID novelties. They're officially here. An edible face mask from Japan. For those who feel like they haven't been duped enough for 1 year, the music that Dad passed down to you with Father's Day coming up, we figured it'd be fun to hear about the music that Dad always played and you grew fond of yourself. Song stories today featured I'm Your Captain, Roger Waters is rather cranky, again, this time at Mark Zuckerberg, and we handed out passes to the new Fast and Furious movie by playing a little game called Who Has More Money. Here you go. Enjoy. It's the Daily Podcast.
You can tell things are getting better with the pandemic when the novelty products for the pandemic start to come out. Okay. All right. I don't think any company would have tried to do this 6 months ago. A bakery in Japan is selling edible face masks.
All right. Like fruit roll-ups?
Right.
That you shove on your face?
Well, yeah. It's a circular loaf of sweetbread called melipan, right? It's got a crisscross. It looks like you're wearing a waffle on your face.
All right.
Sounds like torture to just have bread in your face all day but not eating it.
The company behind it claims that it's not a novelty product, though, that they've tested them, and they claim that they work as well as cloth masks.
Probably works better than a cloth mask.
All right. But, you know, what if we tried to advertise this?
Now, from the same people who brought you edible arrangements and edible underwear comes edible face masks. Nothing tastes better than a mask you've been breathing in and coughing in all day. No need to microwave because it's already warm and moist. Did you forget to eat your lunch and you're still standing in line? Take an inside lick and nibble. You might even get a tasty nose nugget. Edible masks. They're real, they're disgusting, and you're probably glad you're vaccinated. Get yours today from Bad Ideas Marketing.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Loud noises!
102.9 MGK.
So speaking of Dad, with Father's Day is coming up this coming weekend, and remember, Dad would really appreciate it if you made a donation to the Radiothon, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of thing Dad's always like. Like, thank you. That was a great idea, instead of another ugly tie. All right? But with Dad's in mind, and I was thinking about my dad, and my love of music comes from my family. I mean, there was always music on in my house when I was a kid. All right, you know, constantly, whether I was at my grandparents' house or I was in our own house. Although they were playing, you know, standards. It was a lot of Sinatra, a lot of Tony Bennett, you know, Big Joe Turner, things, you know, folks like that. Right? Yeah. But if you are 50 or under, more than likely, Dad was a rocker.
Yeah,
and I'm just sort of curious because you guys are in that age group. And I'm going to open this up to everybody. The number here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Was your dad a rocker, and did he influence your taste in music? What bands did your dad turn you on to?
Yeah, he was. He's definitely into our music. And there's three that come to mind immediately. I've talked about Seeger as a teenager, introduction to Live Bullet. That was my introduction to Bob Seeger. I remember my dad having the Beatles 1 album, which was that all the number one songs?
No, number one songs, right.
That was my introduction to the Beatles, and I can still remember sitting in the car and watching this idiot messing with me because I didn't like Obla Di Obla Da at the time. I thought it was just dumb, and he's dancing up a storm in the car like trolling you. But now, I love the Beatles, and I play it for my kids.
Right.
And I enjoy Obla Di Obla Da now, not that I'm dancing like a moron, but that would be the earliest that I remember.
What's Steven's take on it?
He's a big fan of Altogether. AC/DC. Oh, my God,
yeah.
Altogether Now.
Okay.
One of his
Which was written for children. Yeah. The song was written for children.
It's not even just Steven. Kristen walks around the house singing it, too.
Really?
Yeah. Children and a 34-year-old woman.
So Seeger and the Beatles, your dad's response. What about you, Sin?
Oh, my dad's a 50s guy. So.
Yeah.
Some reason, when I was growing up, my parents loved Neil Diamond.
Okay.
That explains a lot.
It does explain a lot.
Manilow in the back burner.
And then there's always this stray Elvis. Right?
Of course.
You know? But what's it for you? I know we've got to have people out there where dad actually was an influence on your music. A lot of times it's an older brother or sister, but depending on the age group that you are in, right? It's very possible that dad or mom, for that matter, was a rocker. But because it's Father's Day coming up on Sunday, we're talking about dad. So what dad music became your music? Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Oh, there had to be a lot of George dads out there. The question at hand is dad's music and your music. How did dad's music influence you? What was it with you? Because your parents are younger than even me.
Yeah. Well, the first picture of me ever taken in my mom's belly, was with headphones on my mom's belly, blasting Bob Dylan, of all people. Imagine that being the first sound you hear. Muffled Bob Dylan. So Van Mo. There you go. There it is. Oh, my God. I'm in utero. But ironically, one of the funnier things is, I swear I'm a rock and rap guy. I got into rap because of a Randy Newman album that he had back in the day, Land of Dreams.
Uh-huh.
And he has like a satirical rap song on it.
All right.
Came out in 88. I was 6 years old. I swear that's what got me into beat making and rapping too.
All right. All right. Well, what's it for you, folks? Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Dad's music became my music. What of dad's music was influenced you and you became a fan of? 215-263-WMGK. Right now, it's time to serve it up.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by LASIK Experts. Book your free LASIK consultation today at LASIKExperts.com. The song this morning is I'm Your Captain. Today was the day that that was released in 1970, and sometimes your prayers are answered. Mark Farner, who was always a rather religious guy, and the older you got, the more religious he got. As a matter of fact, I remember a DeBall one year, right, where we had Mark Farner come down. He was going to be the guest artist. And he asked Ed Marshall, our then promotions director, right, to pray with him.
Oh, really?
Right. Ed went up into his room to bring him downstairs. He says, hang on. He says, I need to pray. Please pray with me. Wow. And Ed finds himself on his knees in a hotel room with Mark Farner.
God.
All right. Anyway, but when it comes to, I'm Your Captain, it seems that Mark Farner's prayers were answered.
I prayed one night that God would give me a song that would reach and touch the hearts of people that he'd have touched. And I got up at 3:30 in the morning, and I couldn't get that ink pen moving fast enough across the paper. I mean, it was just coming at me, all these words. And I went back to sleep and got up probably about 8 o'clock and picked up my guitar that sets in my kitchen. And I started strumming out some chords, and I said, hey, man, this will probably go with those words that I got last night. And sure enough, I'm Your Captain came out of that.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
Here's a man with lots of money and lots of, the older he gets, the crankier he becomes. You talk about Roger Waters.
Cranky.
All right, you know. Now he's got this whole thing going on with Gilmore right now, not being able to get liner notes on the whether they're re-releasing Animals.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but Mark Zuckerberg contacted Roger Waters because he wants to use another brick in the wall for some promotional video he's putting together.
Oh.
Roger, not a fan of Zuckerberg. And basically, I have audio. Listen to this.
This is something that I actually put in my folder when I came out here today. It's a request for the rights to use my song, Another Brick in the Wall 2, in the making of a film to promote Instagram. So it's a missive from Mark Zuckerberg with an offer of a huge, huge amount of money. And the answer is, you. No way. This is the insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything. I will not be a party to this bull Zuckerberg. How did this little who started off by saying, she's pretty, we'll give her a 4 out of 5. She's ugly, we'll give her a 1. How the did he get any power in anything?
Yes.
And yet here he is, one of the most powerful idiots in the world.
Finally, I agree with him.
Don't mess with a cranky old Englishman.
John DeBella.
Someone smells stinky.
102.9.
Oh, it's me.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
A new film is coming out in the Fast and Furious, as well, you know, timeline. It's not a
franchise.
Yeah. All right. You know, because how many of them are there? This is the ninth one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
F9. F9. All right. The Fast Saga.
Ah.
It's got a subtitle.
Oh, okay.
F9, like, The Fast Saga. It's like the everybody Infinity Saga. Everybody is back, including Helen Mirren and Kurt Russell. All right. Charlize Theron. I guess she's still like the evil bitch she was the last time around.
All right.
All right. You know, I have to admit, I love these movies.
Oh, they're great. They're great popcorn flicks.
They really, really are great. And the franchise, I love the way it's branching off also. So, but you could be at the advanced screening. It's next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the United Artists King of Prussia Theater. The number here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. What we're going to do is we're going to give you a couple of people. All right. All celebrities, names that you know, a lot of musicians, a lot of actors. All right. And we're going to give you two people, and it's your job to tell us which one is worth more. Who's got more money, you know, A or B? And if you do that correctly, boom, pair of tickets are yours. So get yourself on the phone, 215-263-WMGK. Do you have a favorite of these films?
I liked Six.
You like Six?
That was the one with Ronda Rousey. I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was in it when she was really hot before she lost that match, and then people stopped caring about her.
Right.
When you said hot, her star was...
No, I was talking her peak fighting performance.
No. That's true. I actually like the last one, the one with Charlize Theron.
Oh, I missed that one.
She did a great... I mean, played a great villain.
She is the villain? Okay.
Right, she's the villain.
Yeah, I can see her being good at that.
I was the first one. That was my go-to.
The first one?
Right. It was the first one.
Back when there was Street.
I love that one.
Back before they had like robotic flying spaceships.
Although the one that the offshoot one, remember Tokyo Drift?
Yes,
that really wasn't a Fast and Furious movie. Although
they counted it though, didn't they?
Yeah, they. I think they did.
I've always wondered: is The Rock and Tyrese's thing, is that real? Like they don't like each other? Have you seen those videos where?
I think the Vin Diesel The Rock thing is real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think those two like each other at all.
All right,
you know that. No, that's been going on for a bit, right? And you notice that The Rock isn't in this movie. It's Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris is in there. Our old friend Ludacris.
Oh, of course.
The one time he was in the studio, John Cena is in
Mark
it.
Mark Wahlberg.
Jonetta Brewster, Helen Mirren, Kurt Russell, and Charlize Theron. But there's no The Rock in there.
He's prepping for a run for president, John.
I keep forgetting
and
about that.
And he's now filming a Marvel series. Was it Black?
He's got Jungle Book coming out.
Jungle Book's done. He's filming for some superhero.
Okay.
He's got a lightning bolt on him, and he fly and he squats a tractor trailer.
Sounds like every superhero.
As long as it's Marvel,
so
it's good.
So 215-263-WMGK. We're going to start out with Tim. Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good morning, John. Yourself?
I am damn fine. All right, here come your folks. Steve, give him his first pair, and you tell us which one's got more money.
All right, Tim, Steven Seagal or Steven Tyler?
Who's got more money?
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler is correct.
Absolutely.
All right, hold on. Let's move on over to Ed. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Dave, what do you got for him? Give him his two.
Two Robs. How about Rob Halford or Rob Gronkowski?
Rob Halford or Rob Gronkowski?
Rob
Gronkowski at $40 million. You are correct.
Nice.
Beats Rob Halford from Judas Priest by $10 million. You can hold on as well. That takes us now to Chris. Hiya, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. You ready for your two?
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you got, Steve?
All right, Chris. Vince Neil or Vince Vaughn?
All right, which one has got more money?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is correct. Vince Vaughn, $70 million. Vince Neil, $50 million. All right, you hang on, and that takes us to Ken. Ken, here comes
How
your...
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Here comes your pair. Go for it.
All right, here's the Battle of Van Halen. David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
Which one has more money?
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth is incorrect. I am sorry, sir. No. David Lee Roth, $60 million. Sammy Hagar, $150 million. Obviously, David Lee Roth never sold a tequila company.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. That takes us now to Daniel. Daniel, you ready for your pair?
Yes.
Okay. What do you got, Steve?
All right, Daniel. Boy George or George Thorogood?
Who's worth more money, Boy George or George Thorogood?
Boy George.
Boy George is incorrect. Boy George, $50 million. How could that man be worth $50 million?
Yeah.
And George Thorogood, $75 million. That takes us to Zach. Zach, you're our last person taking a shot today. All right, give him a pair.
How about Billy Gibbons or Billy Eilish?
Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, Billy Irish from Whisper Music. All right, who do you think's got more?
Let's go Billy Eilish.
Billy Eilish is incorrect.
Maybe next year.
Gibbons. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, very possible
if
next
the Bond
year.
Movie ever gets released.
No, I am sorry. You are incorrect. But as long as we're talking fast cars. I'm looking at this list, and I'm not going to give out the numbers. Well, maybe I'll give the numbers on these two. The highest person with the most amount of money on our list this morning is Bruce Springsteen at $500 million.
Okay.
All right. Who do you think is second?
Oh, God, I threw on my list. Go ahead, Steve. Go for it.
I also threw on my list. I'm going to say, is it Sammy Hagar?
Nope. Nope, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, I forgot he was on the list. Yeah,
Ryan Seacrest.
He never takes a day off.
Right. Well, I met him once. I had a meeting with him once for a TV show I had.
This is pre-American Idol, I assume?
This is during American Idol.
Really?
Yeah. And his assistants, he's got like four assistants, and all they do all day long is point him in directions. All right, you got to be here. You got to be here. His assistants have assistants. You know, the man is a machine, and I really admire the guy, right? Because not only does he, you know, he produces all this stuff and he makes all this money, but he gives back in a big way. You've got to see what he did at Children's Hospital.
He
put in a TV and radio station for kids in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the kids can make their own TV shows and it gets broadcast and their own radio shows and they get broadcast through the hospital.
Yeah, that rocks.
And he pays for all the equipment and the studios are gorgeous. I was jealous. It was because when we were in 3G, it was like, the best equipment money could buy in 1972. I walked into those studios and going like, this is for sick kids? What about us pros?
John DeBella.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine.
102.9 MGK.
Friday for the Radiothon. Weather's going to be absolutely beautiful. Why don't you come down here? We're going to be right in the corner of our parking lot at One Bala Plaza. You can come down here, make a donation, enjoy what is going on, and become part of the show. You know, the money we raised last year, over 200 veterans, 204 to be exact, got trained in transferable job skills. So basically, they have abilities, but the abilities they have don't work for the job that they're looking for. So they go into the VMC and they retrain these people to get other jobs. It is terrific, the work that the VMC does. And they're growing and they're bigger and bigger every year. So they need more and more help. So please, do what you can. Pass the hat around the job site, around the office, and make a donation on Friday. There are so many different ways to do it. We'll tell you more about it on Friday. But the Radiothon coming up, the 15th annual Radiothon, this Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. right here on MGK. We got into a conversation earlier this morning about, with Father's Day coming, about dad's music. And if you're 50 or younger, more than likely your parents were rockers and there was rock and roll being played in your house. And for Steve, you got turned on to Bob Seger, was it?
Seger, Bruce, and the Beatles.
Bruce and the Beatles. And you got Dylan in vitro.
Utero.
In
yes,
utero.
Exactly. First thing I heard on earth in my mom's belly. Then Van Mo and Gary Newman.
Gary Newman. Yeah. Who was the Gary Newman fan? Your father?
My dad. I'm sorry, not Gary Newman. Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
There we go.
Drastic difference.
A little bit.
Drastic difference.
A little bit. Yeah. Randy.
All right. So the number here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. And we've got Madeline on the line, wants to tell us about her dad. Good morning, Madeline. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
I am fine. All right. So we're talking about dad and dad's music. What dad music became your music?
So I'm only 25, but my dad's in his 60s. So he drilled me in the car during practices. So like CCR, my mom's a Deadhead. We had Led Zeppelin in there. What else? Oh, we had the Marshall Tucker Band. I mean, the old stuff. And they're still pushing with this hippie stuff. So it's great.
What's it like to have a mom who's a Deadhead?
Oh, my gosh. If you could just imagine how eccentric my parents are. And I'm a 25-year-old, right? So I have to kind of play it cool. But they're always out there. They are out there.
So are they hip or embarrassing?
They could be both because they still, you know, partake in the Mary Jane, which is cool. So
with the Mary Jane. Well, the wacky tobacco.
You sound older than them.
Right.
Have a good morning.
Thanks. You too.
Joe, what about yourself? What dad music became your music?
So my dad's music basically was George Thorogood, The Yardbirds, Bruce Springsteen, The Who.
Wait, so Joe, are you my son?
Well, so my dad also, he took me to a lot of rock concerts. So my first very rock concert was Genesis. And so for his birthday, I'm taking him to see Genesis.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, way
that's
cool.
That's a nice turnaround.
Man. Way cool. That's great. Have a good morning. Nancy, what about yourself? What of dad's music became your music?
It was actually the opposite. My father used to hum Elton John's Benny and the Jets and right. The Beatles' Octopus's Garden, and I had to translate.
He would hum the songs, and you would have to, what, figure out what they were?
Yep.
I can't even imagine how to hum Benny and the Jets.
I can't imagine it either, but you know what? God bless him. He did it.
Have a good morning. Chris, what about yourself?
Well, I got to tell you, when I was little, it was nothing but Elvis in my house. Nothing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like it. And Elvis's last concert in Philadelphia, my father went, caught Elvis's scarf, and had it in a frame next to the picture of the Pope in my dining room growing up.
So are you now a huge Elvis fan and a Catholic?
I know. I'm a recovering Catholic.
Aren't we all?
And I'm a huge Elvis fan. When my father passed away, my mother buried the scarf with him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. That's cool.
And I actually met somebody who worked at Graceland, and they said to me, you know, we'd buy that back to you. And I said to them, well, what was buried with my father? And she looked at me and she said, got a shovel?
Dig him up.
Have a good morning.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Michelle, what if dad's music became your music?
So when I was a little girl, I just remember my father sitting in the kitchen with my mom. And actually, he just loved listening to the Rolling Stones, the Moody Blues, the Cars, Elton John, and it just became part of my life. And actually, it's part of my grandchildren and my children's lives as well.
Wow.
We just continue the legend.
You gotta love rock!
Heck yeah.
Yes, I love it.
Mike, what about yourself?
The biggest of all is Lynyrd Skynyrd, and the second is Creedence, and the third is the Beatles. He rocked on.
All right. What became your favorite of those?
Lynyrd Skynyrd, of course.
Well, fly, free bird, fly.
Yes, sir.
Peggy, what about yourself? What if dad's music became your music?
Oh, absolutely. Every bit of rock and roll I know, from The Doors to Lynyrd Skynyrd, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you name it. He gave it to me when he came home from Vietnam as a Marine.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, you know what? With that in mind, you got to take part in a radiothon on Friday.
Oh, you know I already have.
Oh, God bless you, Peggy. Have a great day.
Yes, you too.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.